It's the Satellite Sisters.
Hi, this is Leanne Dolan.
I'm Monica Dolan.
This is Sheila.
I'm Liz Dolan.
This is Julie.
Real sisters, real life, real conversation. Tackling the world one cup of coffee at a time. The Satellite Sisters.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Welcome to the show. It is Tuesday, July 19th. I'm Liz Dolan. I am in Bend, Oregon. Yes, sirree. And on the line with me, my sister Julie Dolan. You are in Steamboat Springs, correct?
Yes, I am, Liz. I'm here. How are you doing?
Good, good. Hey, happy belated birthday. Leanne and I forgot to say that to you on last week's show, but then I did text you 10 minutes after we finished recording, as soon as I remembered that I forgot. So that counts, right?
Yes, you get full credit. You know, we're pretty low-key, the Dolan sisters, in terms of extending birthday wishes to each other.
Yes.
You know, a text, a phone call. I mean, it would be outrageous to send a birthday card, you know, let alone a present. But I did feel your birthday wishes, Liz, so you get full credit. And thank you very much. Yes.
Right. And it's also your son's birthday. So,
yes,
you
it's a double whammy. My younger son, Will, always celebrate the same day. And, you know, again, it's a very nice phone call. That's essentially, I mean, I sent him a present, but he sends me birthday wishes. We, you know, he says, happy birthday, Mom. And I say, happy birthday, Will. And it's just pretty touching, actually.
Sounds very, very sweet. Okay, we have quite a lineup today, and you and I are walking a fine line here because it's a Tuesday show, so
right.
We need to honor the spirit of Tuesday, correct?
Yes, that's correct, Liz.
And yet, there are, you know, serious things going on in the world. I don't know how we're going to get from now until Election Day, Julie. Frankly, on Satellite Sisters, it's going to be a puzzle. But you have a First Lady's Desk report.
Liz, I'm hoping
does not start with the words 4 score and 7 years ago today.
Oh, no. This is all original, Liz.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, and I have good news about America. Because I got a letter the other day that proves to me once and for all that America, we're going to be fine. We're going to be just fine. So I'm going to read you some sections of that letter so that you too can feel the confidence in America that I am feeling today. Okay, Jewel?
All right. Okay. I think we all need that, Liz.
Yeah.
Without that.
Yeah. But then there's stuff you're trying to bring me down about the Olympics. You know, Leanne and I announced on last Tuesday's show that we are going to the Olympics. We don't care what anyone says. We are going to Rio next month. There is breaking Olympic news.
There is breaking Olympic news, and it involves the Russians, so you know I'm all over that. And then I just have a couple of tidbits. Now that I know that you're going to Rio, I've been sort of scanning for, you know, just for information, and I've got two pieces of information I want to share with you. Yeah.
I have to say, I talked to Leanne, and I had a little bit of a planning conference call yesterday. And she has done so much research about everything, and I have done absolutely no research about anything. And I think it's sort of been the key to the last 6 years of my life when I was flying all over the world that I just stopped bothering to look things up. Like, oh, I'll figure it out when I get there. But it's nice to know that Leanne is on the case, even to the extent of buying a book about Rio, you know, which is quite a commitment. And her sons mocked that. Because everything is on an app, Mom, right?
Yes.
And well, not if the internet goes down or something else happens. So so we got that going on. I also have a day in the life report because, as people know, this is for me day 19 of my post-corporate life. So if you're part of our Facebook group or if you follow me on Twitter, you'll know I'm using the hashtag LizNessNotBusiness. And yesterday I posted a giant question about how I should spend my day. So I do want to solve the mystery about what I ultimately decided to do.
Well, I mean, I know was it yoga, Liz? I mean, you have us in suspense.
Well, you're just going to have to listen to the show to find out, Julie. That's all I can say. Though, if you look at the voting in our Facebook group, it was overwhelmingly in favor of going to Ghostbusters over going to yoga. So I think that says many wonderful things about the Satellite Sisterhood. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so the First Lady's Desk.
Okay, well, let's just review. We, you know, here at Satellite Sisters, this has been a long tradition, an award-winning tradition, may I say, Liz, that with the First Lady's Desk, where, you know, we set up a cone of protection around or over all First Ladies, okay? We just don't believe that you should criticize First Ladies. We believe that First Ladies should be free to do whatever they want to do in terms of their career. They should be able to say whatever they want to say. We're just not going to criticize them. So last night, first night of the Republican National Convention, and Melania Trump, potential First Lady, is up there giving what Liz had to be described as a pretty good speech, because number one, English is not her first language. Mm-hmm. And number two, she was using a teleprompter. And I can just speak from my own experience. I'm terrified of teleprompters. They are not easy to use. Liz, I know you've used them.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're really hard. So she was up there. She looks like a zillion dollars. She's giving this speech. It seemed like, you know, the conventioners enjoyed it. And this was her introduction to America. So
it appeared to all be going swimmingly. And I gotta say, for anyone, language or no language, teleprompter or no teleprompter, doing what she did last night is an incredibly hard thing to do.
Yes, of course. Of course.
So she thought she was getting away clean.
She was. But then the internet exploded, because apparently there were two passages in her speech that pretty much are copied from Michelle Obama's 2008 convention speech. Now, how did this happen, Liz?
It's insane.
Okay. So my position is, you cannot blame Melania Trump. She didn't write that speech. And so whoever wrote that speech and copied from Michelle Obama's speech, they should be fired. They should be outed and they should be fired, because they just totally undermined everything Melania was trying to do up there.
Yeah, I feel like Melania's main problem is that she said she wrote the speech, Julie. If she hadn't said she wrote the whole thing herself, then everybody would assume that, of course, some evil speechwriter did this. So first, now we have to go through the drama of figuring out who really inserted the plagiarized sections. So it is not pretty. And you can't help but thinking, like, if that's a professional speechwriter who did that, how could you for a single second think you were going to get away with that? Because these are not like comments that Michelle Obama made at some train station in Albuquerque during the 2008 campaign, right? This is standing on the stage at the Democratic National Convention, you know, when America was first meeting Michelle Obama, as they always say about these First Lady speeches. It's their introduction. So there's no chance you're getting away with it. So I can't help but feel there is something really nefarious going on here.
Someone deliberately did this to undermine Melania?
I don't know, because you're not going to get away with it. There is like no chance you're going to get away with it. So how does that happen? I mean, by the time people are listening to this, we may know what really happened.
Or not.
Yeah.
But again, the cone of protection is going around Melania. I'm holding to the point that she didn't write that speech. Somebody inserted those passages. It's unfair to her. But here's the good news, Liz. She's from Slovenia. And you know what? They're tough there. Okay. So I don't think this is going to keep her down. I think that she is going to respond, and I think she's going to move on from this, you know, and because she is, I think she's going to do fine. That's what I think.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, you're always so positive in supporting these ladies. So.
Yes. And it's not a political thing, because I support both sides, everyone, right? It's a Republican, Democrat. I just believe that we got to protect the First Ladies. That's my job. Okay.
It's just harder to protect. If you stand up and give a speech like that in public, you are entering the fray, you know, and it's going to be quite a fray. That's all I can say. It's a fray for all time. Uh-huh. So that's why I'm so happy this morning, Julie, to have good news about America. Good news.
What is it, Liz? What is it? Because I feel America's coming apart, Liz.
No. I have proof in my hand. I am holding it in writing, the proof that America is not coming apart, Julie. And this is something that I know you will appreciate, because you are a particular fan of this organization, as is Leon. So here's the letter I got the other day in my mailbox in Bend, Oregon. And it's from the United States Postal Service.
Okay. Okay, I'm on board, Liz.
So it starts this way. Dear customer, I would like to take this time to let you know that I have been awarded this route from Boyd, who has retired. I go by Cal, but most of you know that I've been the sub for Boyd for over 6 years. Those of you I have not met, it will be my pleasure to meet and service all of your postal needs. Okay, let's just parse these first couple of sentences here.
Okay.
Cal is so excited that he got awarded a route. This is not a man who, against his will, is doing some stupid bureaucratic job. He feels like delivering my mail is a prize he has won, Julie. And for that, I love you already, Cal. The fact that he had to sub for 6 years, good work, Cal. Sticking it out for 6 years as Boyd's sub. You have to appreciate the American stick-to-itiveness there, don't you?
There's perseverance there, Liz, no doubt.
Yes. Okay, but it goes on, Julie. You know, and this is the innovative spirit of the United States. Second paragraph. I will be carrying a limited amount of supplies with me, like stamps, envelopes, a few boxes, etc. At any point you need something that I don't have available, it will be my pleasure to fulfill your needs within 24 hours. And then in parentheses, he put the next day. So how about that? For service, like, he's going to be carrying stuff around. I'm going to be able to buy stamps directly from Cal, or boxes, or get envelopes from Cal, Julie. Don't you think that is a huge leap forward in postal service?
Yes, Liz. It's the miracle that a letter, you know, you can drop a letter in the mailbox here in Steamboat Springs and it arrives somehow at your house in Bend, Oregon, always surprises me. But now that there's more. It's not just letter. They're not just carrying letters, Liz.
No.
They're going to be providing stamps, boxes. That's amazing.
They're servicing my postal needs. That goes way beyond delivering the mail.
Yeah.
So then he says, if you have a question on postal products or supplies, please give me a call. And he gives me his phone number, Julie. I have Cal's phone number.
You got to call him, Liz. You just got to order something.
Just to thank him for the letter. And then he closes by saying, looking forward to exceeding your expectations. Thank you, Cal. Well, Cal, you have already exceeded my expectations. And I suspect America's expectations. So this was the kind of confidence building letter that I think everyone in America needs to get this week, just to show you that the basic fundamentals of our system are hanging together.
I hope you start, I know you don't bake, but maybe you could go buy Cal some donuts or buy him some brownies or something, Liz, because that's outstanding.
That's outstanding. So I wanted to pass that along just as a positive note to all of my fellow Americans that, you know, people are still out there, as we know, because all of us are still doing it, except for me, doing our jobs. Out there doing our jobs and getting better at it every day because everyone looks forward to exceeding expectations. Okay. So thank you, Cal, and thank you, United States Postal Service.
All right, Liz, I want a picture, you and Cal, okay? That will be great.
Okay. So,
okay, Liz, well, now we have to move. The other big story this week has to be the Olympics and the ongoing Russian doping scandal. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the headlines, Liz. The World Anti-Doping Agency, they had findings that show what they're calling a shocking and unprecedented attack on the integrity of sports and on the Olympic Games, mm-hmm. that they uncovered hundreds of doping positive, you know, doping violations at the Sochi Olympics that was held in Sochi, Russia, and that they have uncovered, you know, state-sanctioned participation in all this doping. The U.S. Anti-Doping Agency had called it a mind-blowing level of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
So we've reported on this at Satellite Sisters.
Yes, we have.
It was first reported in the New York Times. And I'm not sure what this World Anti-Doping Agency, because I feel like every agency that's looked at, like, the Sochi Olympics has said, oh, yeah, they were really cheating a whole lot. And there was all kinds of government agencies involved, and they had a hole in the wall in the lab, and they were manipulating samples, and the East Germans were involved. You know, I mean, everybody's admitted to it, or they've uncovered this. So now it's in front of the Olympic Committee, the IOC. Okay, so mm-hmm. they are supposed to be exploring what they're going to do, whether they're going to ban the whole Russian delegation or whether they're going to ban individual athletes or I don't know what. But as of of 10 minutes ago before we started the podcast, the latest was that the IOC is going to explore legal options over a total Russian ban. That's what one of the headlines coming out. Now, I don't know. They haven't made a declaration yet. But what do you think, Liz? Do you think the whole Russian delegation is going to get banned? Do you think it's just going to be individual athletes? Or do you think the IOC, once again, is just going to look the other way at all the doping that's going on?
My tendency would be to go with door number three, Julie. Door number three, because just the IOC has a long history of doing that. But also, even if they wanted to do something, there is this whole like court of sports arbitration or something. So the individual Russian athletes, I believe, would have the opportunity to appeal any decision. So how is that all going to get resolved by next month? It seems a stretch that it could be resolved by next month. But I don't know. And honestly, if that's more medals for us, if the Russians don't show, I can live without Russians in Rio if I have to.
I don't think it will spoil the games, but if they show up, these are all athletes that may or may not have been doping or taking drugs to enhance their performance, and they will be competing against other athletes, such as the American athletes, that hopefully are not doping or using performance enhancing drugs.
Yes, of course. It's incredibly unfair to have athletes who are cheating competing against athletes who aren't. It's just like a fundamental thing that any kid on any playground knows. And if you're in some of these sports where there's been widespread cheating over decades, you now have these records that have been set, these world records in various sports that no one is ever going to be able to beat because they were done through cheating. And so that really undermines the whole sport. But I don't know. I'm not going to predict what the IOC is going to do just because they haven't really had a history of being aggressive in this area.
Right. I don't think they've
But it sounds like your friend Vladimir Putin is certainly sticking up for his team.
Oh, yeah. He's criticizing the World Anti-Doping Agency or ignoring them. He doesn't care. And I think he's just working the odds and feels like, the Russian athletes are going to compete. They'll compete for Russia. And good luck to the rest of the world. Yeah. This is just the way we roll when you're in Russia. So, but that is certainly going to be a story to watch as you head for Rio. But as I said at the top of the podcast, I'm also, now that I know that you and Leanne and Leanne's family are going to Rio, I'm sort of scanning the horizon for stories. Checking it out. And one story, one little tidbit that I saw, Liz, that I just made me raise my eyebrows. Okay, I don't think it's anything. It's not on the Zika level in terms of alarm. It was noted this week that the contract to hire and train the security guards that are going to be and security screeners that are going to be working all the Olympic venues, well, that was just awarded 2 weeks ago, Liz. Okay. Now, I am sure that's plenty of time for this unproven company that has never really done any major security contract like this before to get it together. I'm sure they're going to have no problem finding a lot of people and training them on how to screen. So you should be fine. But I just made note of it.
Yeah, you're right. It's not ideal. I will give you that. Yeah. I will definitely give you that. Not ideal for that to be like a last minute thing.
Liz and Leanne here, and we are so grateful to have Osea support Satellite Sisters. Why? Because it's just a great product. Holy cow, do we love Osea's skin and body care. And you know what? This Mother's Day, Just look no further than Osea. Spoil the moms in your life with the little luxuries from Osea. The moms, the stepmoms, the bonus moms, the people who bring a touch of something special to your life. Aunts, grandmothers, they would love a little Osea this Mother's Day. And you can get 10% off your first order by using our code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And Liz, you know what every mother and mother figure needs?
What?
More moisture, Liz. They need more moisture in their skin.
No kidding. I mean, really, the creams, the lotions, the oils, I love it all. That duo they have going. Oh. Like, you can't miss with the duo of Osea.
Liz, the Mega Moisture Duo, yes. you can literally see your skin get firmer, and it just delivers this full body glow. Okay, you know we have raved about the Undaria Algae Body Oil. Mm-hmm. Well, pair that with the Undaria Collagen Body Oil. Youthful, yeah. Liz, your youthful yeah. glow is going to happen. And it's infused with Osea's signature Undaria Seaweed. So it just smells so delicious, doesn't it?
I know you're talking about giving it as a gift. I also suggest just giving it to yourself because you're worth it.
That's true. That is absolutely true. Okay, that moisture duo I mentioned too is a great value because you can save 16% plus the extra 10% with our code SADSISTERS. So this is it. This is a win-win-win Mother's Day gift. Spoil the moms in your life with clean vegan skincare and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code SATSISTERS at OseaMalibu.com. And you get free samples in every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Osea is spelled O-S-E-A. So head on over to OseaMalibu.com and use code SATSISTERS for 10% off. Thanks, Osea. Hey, it's Liz and Leanne here, and we want to thank PROS for supporting this episode of Satellite Sisters. Now, you know, Liz, I've been out and about with my new book, The Marriage Sabbatical. The book is getting rave reviews. I'm very happy. But you know what else is getting rave reviews? My hair, Liz. My hair from PROS is getting rave reviews.
Leanne, I am not surprised. You have been on that PROS hair regimen for quite a while. I mean, you have good hair anyway, but now you have great hair because you've really paid attention to it.
Well, Liz, PROS is made for people, not hair and skin types. Personalization is rooted in everything they do, from their in-depth consultation to their made-to-order model. And you know what? I love the regimen they have me on. Do I take the hair vitamins every day? Yes, I do. Do I use my shampoo and conditioner made especially for Leanne Dolan? Yes, I do. I sometimes use the leave-in conditioner when my hair's really dry? I do. And I even have a pre-scalp thing that they give me. Okay, PROS, you're the boss. I'll take it. You tell me what my hair needs. That sounds good. And here's the thing. It's personalization, Liz. For millions of possible formulas, only one is uniquely Leanne's. Okay? And I'm using it. PROS isn't just better for you, it's also better for the planet, Liz. They're a certified B Corp, cruelty-free, and the first and only carbon-neutral custom beauty brand. So PROS, we love you. I love the photos of my hair. Couldn't be happier.
Photos of your hair. There are people in the photos, too. That's the thing about a book tour. Everybody has their picture taken with Leanne and then post it. So the hair is important.
Couldn't be happier, PROS. PROS is so confident that you'll bring out your best hair and skin. They're offering an exclusive trial offer of 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/sisters. So you get your free consultation, then 50% off at pros.com/sisters. And PROS is spelled P-R-O-S-E, pros.com/sisters. Thanks, PROS.
Yeah, it seems a little rushed, but I'm sure they're going to get it together. Now, the second thing that I saw this week, I don't think is going to be a problem for either you or Leanne. And that is that it's coming as somewhat of a surprise to a lot of the journalists that are heading down there in advance of the Olympics or, you know, our visitors that are coming, that the people of Brazil speak Portuguese, and they really don't speak much English. That unlike other places you can go in the world, such as Europe, where, you know, you really do not need to speak French. You can, there's plenty of English, or same in Germany, you know, but apparently in Brazil, they actually speak Portuguese and don't speak a lot of English. So a lot of international visitors are sort of shocked and alarmed that they're having communication problems. But I don't think this is going to be a problem for you and Leon. You know, I think that you are going to be able to speak international, yes, which is just with smiling, hand gestures, pointing, and a couple of Portuguese phrases, yes, don't you think?
Yes, I think we can do it. And you're speaking the language of sport, Julie. Okay. You know, it's winning and losing, and it's often based on a clock, having nothing to do with the language. So I think we're going to, I think we're going to be okay. But you're right. That is my experience having worked in Brazil in the past, is that it is a country with more limited English speakers than many other major countries that you would normally travel to. So you just got to roll with it. Luckily, they're so nice. It's all going to be fine. It's all
okay.
Good.
Okay, Liz, that's the spirit. I didn't think that second one was going to bother you. But I'm on the lookout, Liz. I'm just for any stories about Rio and the Olympics, I will be bringing them to you this summer as you get ready to go.
Thank you. Well, one thing I read in Leon's Twitter feed yesterday, if you don't follow Leon on Twitter, you can. She's at Leon Dolan. L-I-A-N-D-O-L-A-N. And as I said, she's been heavily researching this trip, which is helpful. And she discovered in her research that Thursday, today as we record is Tuesday, so 2 days from now, Julie, is Super Thursday. It's super. You know what the Super Thursday is?
No, I have no idea.
Super Thursday is all like 100,000 extra tickets to events go on the market. So anything that is unsold, all of this stuff that they've been holding back. So there's going to be this flood of available tickets on Thursday, and we are psyched. We're very psyched about that because we have focused on just a few key things that we absolutely positively wanted to see, like in track and field or in swimming or in women's soccer. We've nailed those down. But, you know, do we have our table tennis tickets yet? No, we do not. Taekwondo? No, have not locked that in. Her sons and her husband would like to see some boxing.
Oh, that's, I remember seeing boxing at the Montreal Olympics. Yeah. It's really exciting to see.
Yes. So Super Thursday, we're getting psyched. So that's coming up. So we'll just, we're just going to hold off until then before we make any other commitments and then jump in on Thursday. So, yeah, it's all good. Rio 2016, rah, rah, rah.
No, it's really great to follow along. And I know a lot of people on our Facebook page are very excited that you're going. So we look forward to reports, maybe not podcasts, but we look forward to Facebook postings and Twitter reports from Rio. So,
one other thing I want to mention about Rio, I got extra excited this weekend. I spent the weekend with our cousin Beth and her husband Kevin. And Beth and Kevin went to Rio with their daughter for the Paralympics in, I think it was 2007, either 2006 or 2007. She was competing in the swimming. She's blind. And they went to Rio and even stayed in the same part of town for the Paralympics that we are going to be staying in for the Olympics. So they were telling me all about it. They were so excited. They had such a great time. So that made me even more excited than I already was. And it was a lot of fun to hear about their experience. And they loved every second of it and said the Brazilian people were just so excited about all the sports and all the competitions and all of the athletes that it made the whole event. So just another little tidbit there, Joel.
Okay, that's good. Well, Liz, this is going to be kind of a hard turn that we're going to do right now in the podcast, but it came about because I'm here in Steamboat Springs and quite honestly, I just didn't want to watch the wall-to-wall coverage of the Republican National Convention last night. I watched a lot of it, but I had to get out of the house. I just felt like I did. And lo and behold, I looked in the little local paper, and there was a free lecture last evening. Now, the topic was a little tough, but I thought, hey, this I really would like to hear what these guys have to say. It was on radical Islam and terrorism, the views from U.S. and Europe. And they Steamboat Springs has a speaker series, and they invited two people from the Brookings Institute, two scholars. One was William McCants, who is an expert on radical Islam, and he was an advisor to the State Department on counterterrorism. And then the second speaker was a Frenchman, Philippe Luker, who is an expert on Asia and Europe and the political and economic dynamics. Well, first of all, it was absolutely packed. It was a beautiful evening here in Steamboat, and it was surprising how many people turned up to hear this talk. And just a couple of highlights. I mean, if you think, you know, that this William McCants is really one of the leading experts on radical Islam, and it was just, it was sort of fascinating to hear what he said. And number one, you know, he was talking about the difference between Al-Qaeda and ISIS. And he said, the thing with ISIS is they are willing to go do and go places in terms of brutality that even Osama bin Laden wouldn't have done. Like Osama bin Laden would not have approved the tactics that ISIS is using. That's what really separates the two groups, is that in some ways Osama bin Laden was a more moderate terrorist, if you can use that term.
And God, that is chilling.
That is chilling. Then the second term he used is something, this is hard to pronounce, but he said it's called ISIS-ish, okay? ISIS-ish, which is...
That's a thing? A scholar is saying that?
That's a thing, Liz. Yeah, and he was actually quoted in the New York Times yesterday using the word ISIS-ish, which is that like the attacker in Nice over the weekend, what we're learning about that guy is that he was... he was a violent drinker. He was a drug taker. He was a wife beater. And, you know, he was not a follower of Islam, you know, and that, but what these thugs, these terrible people are doing, they are latching on to the identity of ISIS in his mind as a way to cleanse themselves. So here was a guy in Nice who was leading a terrible life. And yet he, you know, somehow in his twisted brain that by slaughtering all of these people, that he was, this was a way of atonement. So, which is, this is a new phenomenon. Yeah. That was kind of, he said that many of the people that are committing the acts in the name of ISIS, you know, are ISIS, that's his term, that they are not followers of Islam, they are doing this as a way to cleanse, as I just said. So he believes ISIS is an organization fighting for survival. He believes that, but that's kind of bad news for us, because he said that there will sadly be more attacks. And he said the other bad news is that now ISIS is no longer relying on bombs. You know, he said the problem with bombs is that they're bomb making. It's scary. It's tricky. Mm-hmm. But now, sadly, many of the attackers are using other things such as trucks. Or today there was an ISIS inspired attack on a German train where he just used a hatchet. So, it was really depressing, but at the same time, it was, fascinating to hear what he had to say.
Yeah.
His mm-hmm. counterpart was this, a scholar from France. And it just, he started his comments by saying, I had planned to make a whole bunch of soccer jokes because they just hosted a big soccer tournament and France lost in the finals. But and people asked him about, why has there been so much terrorism in France? And he said he believes it's because they are a democracy, because they have freedoms. You know, he also said that a lot of people don't understand that 10% of the French population is Muslim. He said, obviously, 99% of the Muslim population living in France are law abiding people that go about about their lives and their religions. It is this, small group. And he believes that these attacks are going to continue. And because of the lack of coordination within the European Union, that they are having a hard time sharing information about potential attackers among countries. And he said that over a third of the people that were killed in that attack in Nice were Muslim, which I hadn't realized.
So awful.
It is so awful. And you could see that he's just, they said, there were questions about, what are the politicians doing? And he said, they're not doing enough, that there's still a blame game going on in France, and that we do need more coordination, and that France, unfortunately, will continue to be one of the targets. So yeah. So it was a very enlightening but very sobering speech. And it just, you know, it is, I was, you know, one, I just had been thinking about all of the victims of these attacks, and it's hard to even, to honor all of them, to think about them and to pray for them, because so there are, the attacks just keep coming, you know, and it's like, I had, you know, I was just reading about the poor girls in Bangladesh, you know, that were killed in
the honor killings. Like,
yes. No, just the ones that were killed by the ISIS killers in that cafe in Dhaka, Bangladesh, which happened, you know, like 3 weeks ago. It's like, oh gosh, I forgot about them. You know, it's just, these attacks just keep coming. So,
but Julie, you know, I give you a lot of credit, you know, first of all, for being brave enough to address this on a Tuesday show. But also that instead of staying home and just, watching like the goofy hats at the Republican National Convention and having a laugh at their expense, that you invested your time and energy in finding out a little bit more about this. So hats off to you, Julie Dolan.
Liz, summer is coming up, and you know what that means? It means you're grilling. You're grilling and chilling there with your butcher box. What do you got going on the grill this summer?
Well, you know, here's the thing. Because I'm going to be up in Bend for a part of the summer, I'm having my box sent there, Leanne.
That's great.
Go on vacation with your butcher box is what I'm recommending. Yeah, either way, you're just going to buy meat and fish and stuff when you get there. Why do that? Anyway, I love their steaks. I love their scallops. The scallops are really good. And the chicken thighs, all good. I'm ready.
That's right. Butcher Box gives you peace of mind and easy to find high quality meat and seafood you can trust. It's 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, pork that's raised crate-free, and wild-caught seafood. No antibiotics or added hormones. And as Liz said, delivered right to your doorstep. And you can customize that delivery plan, Liz, right? Because it can go wherever you want it to go, whenever you want it to go. If you want to delay it a week, you know, speed it up a week, you just go to your Butcher Box account and you can make that all happen.
It's so easy to manage online.
Yeah. And if you're like Liz, you can take your Butcher Box on vacation, which is... That's nice. Nice to have something familiar there.
Yes.
So if you want to take your meat on vacation, sign up at butcherbox.com/sisters and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional 20% off. So you can choose salmon, chicken breast, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/sisters and use code SISTERS to choose your free for a year offer, plus get $20 off your first order. Thanks, ButcherBox. Liz, you know we love talking about FrameBridge, don't we?
We do. because there are just so many fun things to frame, Leon, aren't there?
Right. Anything. You can just upload a digital photo from your phone and they can print it and frame it. And that is a gift right there, a gift people would love getting. But Liz, you recently had quite an exciting FrameBridge experience. Would you like to share?
I talked about how when we were at the Bruce Springsteen concert, I was with our brother Dick, his wife Susan, his two kids, and one of the roadies threw us the set list at the end of the show, which was amazing to get the actual set list for the actual concert in Los Angeles. And we're like, oh, yeah, any day now, that's going to be in a place of honor in their home. Sure enough, Leon, they have already FrameBridged it and sent it to us with a picture. So I'll be in Bend next week, so I'll get to see it. But it's just excellent use of the FrameBridge resources, the Bruce Springsteen set list.
Fantastic. And this is gift giving season. So if you have a graduation coming up, a wedding, a shower, Mother's Day, Father's Day, look around. I'm sure you have something fun you can frame, and FrameBridge can do it for you. It's easy and it's affordable to frame just about anything. You get fair and transparent upfront pricing based on the size of your item. There's a great selection of frames. And as we've said in the past, fast service, free shipping, great for gifts. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Liz, not many things in life give you a happiness guarantee, but FrameBridge does. If you're not 100% happy with your piece, they will make it right. So if this
but
sounds
like... you're going to be happy, okay? That's just the Satellite Sisters promise. You're going to be happy you did it.
See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit FrameBridge.com or see a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything, like a Bruce Springsteen set list. That's FrameBridge.com. Thanks, FrameBridge.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see. All right.
But we probably need some sort of palate cleanser from that.
Yes, you do. I have just the news item. Okay. Oh, really? It was just, it's exactly what it was. The big breaking news this morning that Pippa Middleton is engaged. The younger sister of the Duchess of Cambridge is engaged to a hedge fund manager named James Matthews. Okay.
And hooray, she got, hooray, hooray,
hooray, hooray. All right. She got a big fat engagement ring. You can see that online. But the good news, 2017, there's going to be a royal-like wedding. They're going to be, you know, Sister Kate is going to have a big role in this. Of course, I'm sure they're going to rope in that adorable George, and Charlotte will be involved. I think there's going to be lots of fascinators, and it's all going to be good, don't you think?
It sounds like just what we need to lift the spirits of the people that are entertained by this royal family. It is a nice antidote to other things that are going on in the world. So
I know we always say royalty is ridiculous, but it was
sometimes that's what you need.
It was refreshing today. Like, oh good. And you know she'll have a great dress. Okay?
Yes,
you know
right.
That I'm sure. So this will keep us busy. It's a very positive thing, and so I think that's something to look forward to in 2017.
Okay, I'm happy for you, Britain. So, in spite of the Brexit, you'll have Pippa and James to focus on. All right, so let's bring it back to domestic issues. And
yes,
Liz. Me personally, my domestic life.
Yes,
you know that I am. This is my first month of my post-corporate life. I left my job on June 30th. I'm taking the summer off, not even thinking about the rest of my life this summer, just enjoying myself, Julie. But of course, that requires a hashtag in 2016. You can't just enjoy yourself. So it's hashtag Lizness, not business. I've been posting occasionally Instagram, Twitter, and in our Facebook group. So yesterday, I had a major dilemma, how to spend my day. But first, speaking of palate cleansers, I wanted to try something in the spirit of the Tuesday show, try something live on the air that we have not done before.
What is that, Liz?
I mentioned
we've done a lot of goofy things on the air. Go ahead.
No, I mentioned last week that my friend Robin, when she was here visiting, she and her son, Oliver, went to a tour of the kombucha factory. And I've never really tasted kombucha, but I did disparage it on the show. I've just always assumed it tasted like dirt just because it looks suspicious.
Yeah, it looks bad.
And have you ever tasted it?
No, I'm not going there. No, I mean, I think life's too short, you know, to like drink disgusting things, Liz. Yeah.
But I don't know. I got a lot of email and comments in the Facebook group that I should not count kombucha out. And as a matter of fact, if you look around the whole state of Oregon, people are filling up growlers with kombucha.
People, you'll eat a lot of kale, Liz. It still doesn't make it right.
Okay, so here's what I did. I'm going to try it right now. Yesterday, I bought a bottle of kombucha. The Hum brand that is made right here in Bend, Oregon, H-U-M-M, Hum. And I bought the mango passion fruit flavor, Julie, because I am a fan of the mango. I don't really know what passion fruit tastes like. It's just one of those names they put on everything. But so hang on, I'm going to open it. Opening the bottle.
Oh, good sound effect, Liz.
Okay. Now I'm pouring it into my glass. Oh, it's fizzy. I guess I really didn't know it was fizzy.
I thought it would be gloppy.
Yeah. It's kind of a golden color. It looks like a very pale ale, as a matter of fact. So here we go. Let's see how we do with the kombucha. Give me a couple seconds just to taste it. Let it sit on my palate. Well, that's actually quite delightful and refreshing, I have to say.
Well, what does it taste like?
Well, it basically tastes like slightly fizzy mango juice that has been watered down. Like if you had a combination of real mango juice and say seltzer and you put that together, I don't taste any of the dirt or what. I know there's no actual dirt in it. So people
Does it have a gritty?
No. It's just because it's made with that big blobby thing that's a real turnoff.
Yeah. So. It looks like a fiber drink to me.
Yeah.
And I can't choke those down. So,
okay. Well, let's just say way better than I expected.
okay.
Liz. So I don't know. That's about as much as I can do live on the air with this. So hum kombucha. Okay. I can at least finish the one bottle I purchased, which I wasn't even expecting that, Julie. My expectations were low. So there you go. That's pretty much all I need to accomplish today, because I'm trying to hold myself to one big thing a day. So kombucha today.
That was drink. Okay, Liz. Okay.
So yesterday, the choice, which I posted on my Facebook group, was these two things. Going to restorative yoga or going to see Ghostbusters. And, you know, there were people that suggested I could do both, which, of course.
Oh, that's too stressful. That is too much work on a vacation to do two things. Come on.
No, one thing a day is my current philosophy. So there was overwhelming support for going to see Ghostbusters. And even if I had attempted to really go to the restorative yoga, I made the mistake yesterday of trying to address Cobra. Like, at a certain point, I need to make sure I still have health insurance.
Yeah.
So I started doing a little Cobra research yesterday morning. And the next thing I knew, I just missed restorative yoga. So I was really.
Well, you certainly wouldn't want to go to restorative yoga without health insurance. Because God knows what could happen, Liz. Instead of restoring things, you could really sprain things.
Yeah. So. And you don't want to be laying on the floor in your yoga class mainly thinking about Cobra, right? That would have just ruined the whole thing. So I needed to make the choice that was going to take my mind off Cobra. And that clearly was Ghostbusters. So
palate cleanser, Liz. Good. Yes. I like it.
So here are my top three things about Ghostbusters, in case you have not seen this movie yet.
I haven't, Liz. It's playing here in Steamboat. I'm tempted to go see it. Yes.
Okay. I think you would enjoy, Julie, if you're in the right frame of mind. You need to be in the frame of mind for a palate cleanser, right?
Okay.
It's a palate cleanser. So top three things on my list for Ghostbusters. Number three, we'll start from the bottom. Number three were the gadgets, Julie. You know, they're busting ghosts. This is complicated. You have to be very inventive. There's all kinds of technology that you need to develop to effectively bust a ghost. So there are these really nutty gizmos all through the whole movie that are a lot of fun, including the helmet that Melissa McCarthy is wearing the very first moment you see her in the movie just made me laugh out loud. But most of the other gizmos are demonstrated by Kate McKinnon, one of the four actresses in the movie. And so she gets the opportunity. She has some of the best lines. She has some of the best physical gags. She really gets to like goof around a lot with this stuff. And it's what really made me think of the original movie, the sort of nuttiness of the whole concept. So of the top three things, number three is the gadgets, particularly as presented by Kate McKinnon. Now, the other three stars of the movie are Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, and Leslie Jones. So I would say the number two on my list is the casting of the movie, but not only for those top four women who are all fantastic. There are all kinds of little roles played by people you will recognize from your favorite TV shows. For instance, Matt Walsh, who plays Mike McClintock on Veep, you know, the loser press secretary, he's in there. As is Sam Richardson, who plays Richard on Veep. He's in the movie for like 10 seconds, Julie. Like, he's barely there. But that is a highlight. The movie opens with a very funny tour of a haunted mansion by Zach Woods, who is the actor who plays Jared on Silicon Valley. Do you watch Silicon Valley?
Oh, I love him. And I love that series. Everyone should watch Veep and Silicon Valley.
Yes. So they must have all been on hiatus when this movie was shot, because they're sprinkled throughout the entire movie. And there's also a hilarious cameo near the very, very end by Sigourney Weaver. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Anyway, lots of other really great people in the movie. So the cast is just like, they are obviously just having a fantastic time making this movie. And so you can't help but have a really good time watching the movie. So that's number two. And number one, like, I know I'm a sucker for this, but really it's just the pure satellite sisterhood of it all. Not only is it about the four women joining forces to bust ghosts, you know, but, and obviously we're for that, four women getting together to do whatever you want to do. We're for that. But really the fundamental relationship in the movie is between Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig. And it's really about their friendship since they were children, and they kind of discovered the ghost, their love of ghosts together, and then had split apart for a number of years, disagreed about things. Their lives had gone in a different path. But then at this point in the story and in their lives, they come back together and they find their friendship again. So, okay, I'm a sucker, but for the pure satellite sisterhood of the friendship between Melissa McCarthy and Kristen Wiig, I'm saying, you really got to go see this movie. It is silly. It is funny. It is goofy. You know, I would say it's not the kind of movie, it would be good on a plane, except for some of the funniest lines in the movie. You know, they're just kind of throwaway lines. There are a lot of very funny things that each of the individual four women say. So you kind of need to be able to hear every little bit of it. So I think you would enjoy it. As a matter of fact, if you went to see a lecture on radical Islam last night, I think Ghostbusters would be the exact opposite of that.
Okay, that would be
my
palate
cleanser. That's what you should do tonight. Yes.
Okay, well, I hear I have a follow-up question for you, Liz. Is this, can you take kids to this movie? You know, because Nana Camp opens next week, and my two oldest grandchildren, Alice and Ben, are showing up. I don't know what the rating is on this movie.
I don't know what the rating is either, because I don't usually look at that.
Yeah.
So I,
and you're really, this you're the wrong person.
I am totally the wrong person to ask, because it looks fine to me. I mean, there's, you know, it's goofy and it's funny and it's silly. And I would think the gadget part of it and the ghost story part of it would be really enjoyable for kids. I don't recall any bad language, and there's definitely no sex in there. There is very sexy Chris Hemsworth plays their beefcake receptionist, and he's hilarious in that role. There's also a cameo by Bill Murray. So there's a lot that you will enjoy, you and your husband would enjoy in this movie. But I leave it to other people to judge what the kids would. I mean, maybe you need to go to Rotten Tomatoes for that, Joel.
I'll do my own research, Liz. As soon as I asked that question, I was like, why am I asking Liz? Liz is a terrific aunt, but she is for, you know, all kinds of freedoms. Like, to let them do whatever they want to do. That's your motto of childcare, right?
A movie about ghostbusting can't do any long-term damage would be my policy on that.
Okay.
But your grandchildren are young, and it's just so I don't want to go out on a limb. And I'm sure there are many listeners. I could tell on Facebook yesterday that a lot of our listeners have already seen it. So if you want to give Julie advice on whether Nana Camp can attend a showing of Ghostbusters, you can just make sure you're a member of the Satellite Sisters Facebook group, and you can post that there. So there you have it. I thought it was a delightful alternative to real life.
That's what I've been saying.
We need that. That is exactly what we need in America today. So that's the best I can say about Ghostbusters. So, okay. So what else
that's
you got?
That's it.
You got
that's it,
feeling?
Liz. That's the Tuesday show. We did it.
This has been enjoyable.
Yes, yes. So now you can finish that disgusting drink you have there.
Kombucha. I think today I might, cause I've been trying to do at least one new physical activity every day too, you know, which is why the restorative yoga thing was appealing to me. But today it's the, deep water aerobics, Julie.
Okay.
So I'm going to be doing that. And then I don't know, Ferris and I got really, really had nothing else to do.
I think you should take Ferris. The other movie I definitely want to see this summer is A Day in the Life of a Pet, or whatever that
Secret
name is.
Secret Life of Pets.
Secret Life of Pets. I assume you're going to take Ferris to that,
Let me ask you about that, because I am very tempted to see that movie, but I wanted a reading on this. How pathetic is it for a 50-something woman to go see that movie all by herself.
Not at all. I know.
Not at all. Okay. All right.
I know lots of women that are going to see that. So yeah.
I'm not usually that self-conscious about things like that. But that's, I thought, you know, adults alone in kids' movies can be somewhat suspicious. So no, I have permission to go see that on my
own. Yes. Yes, you do. Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. So maybe tonight in lieu of night two of the RNC, maybe that would be an appropriate.
It's a good counterbalance, I think, to the reality of our lives, Liz. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're good here. Well, enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay. You too, Liz. Don't work too hard there. Just take
I'm
it
done.
Easy.
Got the kombucha. I'm doing the swimming. You know, that's pretty much it for me. So if you want to follow us, you can join our Facebook group. On Twitter, I'm at SS Liz. Julie, you are at Julie Satsis.
Yes,
right?
I think so. I believe so. I don't send out a lot of tweets, but I've been upping my Instagram.
Okay.
So go there. That's my summer project is to put more Instagram posts up.
Instagram is fun. It is easier than the rest. I'm Satellite Sister Liz on Instagram. So I've been trying to do that and use my hashtag, of course, just trying to, you know, rebrand myself. So you can do all of that. We always want to hear from you. And that's why the Facebook group is so great, because you can post what you want. You can also like our Facebook page. And I know I've mentioned this before. If you listen to our show on iTunes or Stitcher, if you can rate or review our show, that is really helpful to our Google rankings, whatever that is. And it just means that our show gets suggested to more listeners. So we would love it if you could do that. So, okay, there you have it. We are done for today. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, Julie.
You too, Liz.
We are the Satellite Sisters. Don't forget, call your Satellite Sister.